This show is sponsored by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey. And by DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door each and every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now, go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. That's DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to joeydiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. This show is also sponsored by NatureBox, where you can order great-tasting, healthy snacks right to your door. Snack smarter in the new year with healthy and delicious treats like French Toast Granola. Support this podcast and get 50% off your first order. Go to naturebox.com and use promo code Joey. That's naturebox.com, promo code Joey.
Oh shit! Are you fucking kidding me or what? Monday, January 13th, the day the devil was buried at fucking sea. The holidays are over. Put away the fucking lights, cocksucker. Here he comes. Here! What?
Yeah, you got statue.
Get the fuck up, you lazy sack of shit. America's waiting for you. Don't worry about fucking the Golden Globe and what doesn't got to do with you. You got one fucking job in mind. Get your fucking lunch money, cocksucker. What, Lee Wiggle? Oh, shit. Bronchitis and all, we don't give a fuck. This is a little...
Fuck that.
Spark that motherfucker. Protein shake. Wash your balls. Write your goals. Somebody's getting ready to suck your dick today. Let's do this, Lee. What? Oh, shit. Now, let's start this motherfucker, Lee. What is this, American Bandstand concert? Lee Syatt, the Flying Jew. Flavor coming at you Monday, January 13th with the fucking bag of machine guns, you cocksucker. What's happening, dog?
Feel great. It's awesome. I wish we had enough time to do this 5 days a week. I've never been so happy to wake up at 5 in the morning.
You know, and it's easy to wake up. I was telling my wife last night that I got up Thursday morning. You know, Tuesday last week, I started getting calls on why I shouldn't go to Buffalo. It was the weirdest thing. Like, eight people were like, man, you better be careful, you know. The plane, you're going to slide off the fucking thing. And then I was reading into Chicago, and I realized I had to land through Chicago. And Thursday morning, I'm in that fucking shower at 3 in the morning. I had to be at the airport at 4:45. Really. 3 in the fucking morning, I'm washing my pussy.
Jesus.
On 6 hours of sleep. And I'm saying to myself, give me a fucking reason why I wouldn't go. Like, give me a reason, if anything. Give me a sign. Why I would just cancel this fucking thing because of snow, whatever bullshit. Nothing. And I went up to Buffalo. It's one of my favorite fucking places in the world. It has been for 30 fucking years. I've been going up there. My first wife was from Buffalo.
Really?
Yeah. Kathy was from fucking Buffalo.
Wow.
So that's how I knew about her family and the University of Buffalo and all that shit. And then I had other friends. It was weird at the time. Everything pointed to me towards Buffalo. Until this day, I always think that someday I'm going to move to Buffalo. I even said it to my wife last night.
Really? So cold.
It's cold, but the people, the summers, Lee, the fucking food up there.
Oh, I'm sure it's delicious.
Listen, bro, they got this beef on wick on Camel Wick Row. I've been eating that.
That's from Buffalo?
Yeah, the beef on wick with some roast beef and some horseradish. You have any fucking idea what that does to you? And they're small, so you could eat like 18 of them. I only popped one.
I feel bad for the maids who cleaned your room yesterday.
Oh, I took tremendous shits. Oh, I was farting. I must have eaten one of those things a day. You know, I had a salad. I had nice soup up there. But the pierogies with sauerkraut and some steamed... Those fucking Polacks, they don't fuck around up there.
No, like, you can't, because you have to be able to, like, withstand the cold in the winters.
You look at the... I went on the treadmill 2 days in a row because I was there, because I was like, you know what? Nobody sweats up here. Nobody fucking sweats. It's 6 months of fucking cold. But I went. I had a fucking great time. I had great sets. The first night, I had a fucked up set because I was everywhere. But after that, I focused and I hunkered down. And, you know, I got delayed on the way in, which I expected.
Yeah.
But for me now, comedy isn't about traveling and doing jokes no more. That's what it used to be like. It's not that no more. It's a complete different experience, Lee. You know, I got to meet Luca Cabana, who I met before. You know, you get to meet these people, that Dunyar, that Danyar, that fucking crazy Arab. I love him. He's calling the fucking hotel. He wants to meet us, meet him at Jin Jin Chinese restaurant. You know, when you go on the fucking road, I work. This is what a lot of people understand. I don't want you to take offense. A lot of people go, well, Joy, when you come to town, do my podcast. No, I can't do your podcast because I'm focusing on stand-up. When I'm in town Monday through Thursday, I'm focusing on our podcast. I'm focusing on writing. I'm focusing on all this other shit. So as soon as I get on that fucking plane, my only focus, if I didn't, what do you think? Why do you think Lee isn't with me on every flight with a box of T-shirts? You know why, Lee? Let me tell you why the truth of the matter is. Not that I don't like you. It's not that I want to sell T-shirts. Not that I want somebody with me. I don't want to focus on anything else but fucking stand-up. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to come to me and go, dog, we're out of mediums on Friday. I just don't want to hear that shit. I don't want to hear that shit. So when I get on that, when I get up Friday morning, number two, I got stand-up rules that always fuck a person up. And they may apply to your life. Number two, I'm there for stand-up. Okay, the whole fucking 4 days I'm here, Lee. When I call you at 2, I've been moving all day.
Yeah.
I'm driving, I'm fucking going traffic, I'm going here, I'm talking to this guy. This fucking idiot wants me to do this for fucking $10. It's just a nightmare. When I travel, I just want peace. Because if I can come up with one new joke a fucking night, you know, I don't want to drive nowhere. You want to take me and train me in jiu-jitsu? It's got to be 10 minutes from the fucking club or the hotel. I don't want to drive 25 fucking hours or 25 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
I cannot be around a ton of people in the daytime. I know that you're very nice and you have great friends, but here's the problem. When I start bullshitting with you, I waste my energy. I'm 50. I don't have energy to do 2 shows and then talk to 400 fucking people a night if I spent 3 hours over it. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are like, let's go to dinner. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
I told you the last time I was here, I don't eat before shows. It's my 2 hours of fucking peace. Saturday, I'm already thinking about Monday morning's podcast.
Really?
When I wake up Saturday, I'm already eating my oatmeal. I ride, I drink some coffee, I smoke some fucking reefer. I might get on the computer, but not twitting or Facebooking. I get on Litlift and I write, I do whatever the fuck I gotta do. And I also do a workout in because I know I'm not gonna be able to work out Sunday. When I get off the plane, it's gonna be rushing the baby, the wife, they wanna go to a park, they wanna go to Ralph's, they wanna go shopping, coffee, whatever the fuck I'm gonna do. So it's very weird that, you know, I love going on the road with Joe. Because Joe never expected anything from us on Saturdays and Fridays. He writes. So I'm used to that mentality of just solitude. I don't want to do dick. I don't want to drive 30 minutes. I don't want to meet your brother's restaurant. I don't want to fucking do nothing. I'm focused on giving you guys a good show at night.
Yeah.
If I go eat with you and talk to 18 people and you introduce, and there's always a by the way, oh, we got to stop with my grandmother. She's a fan of the longest show. I go fuck yourself. I don't have time. I wish I did. I have a buddy in Buffalo, great buddy, Tim McKenna. Known Tim McKenna for 30 fucking years. This last time on the way, I love Timmy. But he always says to me, what would it take to cancel your flight? Tim, nothing. Nothing. You know, what people don't understand is once I do that last show, before I get on stage, before I show up to that fucking comedy club on Saturday, I'm packed.
Really?
I'm packed. Yeah, because my flight's leaving at 5:30, 5, 6, 4:30. I don't have time. When I get back, it's going to be 12:30. I smell like armpits from hugging people. I take a shower. I get out. I drink a little soda, some water, and I fucking go to bed. I get 3 hours in. You know, and the people always come up like, what would it take? Nothing. You don't understand. Yeah. When I get off stage and I'm hugging you, I'm thinking about getting the fuck out of there already. But not even getting the fuck out of the club and getting the fuck away from you as a human being. The state.
Yeah.
Like, I'm already on the red eye mentally. If there was a way I could get from the club back to the hotel to the red eye, I'm done. I would take my luggage with me to the fucking comedy club.
Yeah.
Once they fucking pay me, my job is done.
It's too bad they don't have a 2 a.m. flight.
Yeah, no. And you know, my world, you have to understand that my world starts on a Monday just like yours, and it bangs it the fuck out, and it's constant. It's fucking constant. You know, I have a notebook. I look at it, like today, I got a 9:30, a fucking 11:30, a 1, a fucking 4:30, and 8 o'clock at night. That's if I don't do a set tonight. I might get a wild bug up my ass and go, well, let's go do a set at D'Agostino's or whatever.
It's kind of crazy when I'm with you, like, around here. You're almost, not hibernating, but, like, you've almost fallen asleep in the green room. It's, like, kind of weird to see, like, because you really do conserve. Because I can't imagine even just talking to somebody for an hour But you're up there, like, really, you, like, you would, people would think you're, like, not that animated just because, like, if you're a bigger guy or something, but you really do jump around and you're yelling and...
It's fucking, you know, you don't want to. I learned from years of bombing. My money nights are Fridays and Saturdays. So Fridays and Saturdays, I got to be tip-top. Tip-fucking-top. Thursday, you want to get there and jump up and down and go get a hot dog. But Friday and Saturday is a performer for you. What you're paying for me to go see, I need to be in tip-top shape. Mm-hmm. Mentally, physically. You know, I used to do a gram of blow the night before, 2 grams of blow. And then Saturday night, I would suck 2 shows. This is why I didn't get nowhere. These are the reasons why, because I didn't respect my Fridays and Saturdays. When people come see you on Friday and Saturday, you know, Thursday night, oh my God, he was cute. He was talking about his cat and his dog and life, and it really wasn't that funny, but it was very interesting. No, on Fridays and Saturdays, people want to see the fucking, they go to the fucking circus to see the fucking lions and the tigers. They don't want to see no clowns or no fucking guy skeet walking on a tight rope, Houdini or whatever. They want to go see a fucking lion. So for me to be a fucking lion, I got no time to hook up and talk about fucking sports and what the goddamn is bothering you. I got my own problems, and I put them aside, and I go on that fucking stage, and I want to go fucking bananas for you. So please, understand Dan Barr, Sean Connors, I love you motherfuckers, but Friday and Saturday for me is fucking D-Day. I ain't got nothing better to do than drink coffee, smoke my little fake cigarette, hit that thing. I go try to go to the pool at the hotel. If they have a steam bath, I take a steam. It's about me to give you the best. And sometimes if you guys do that with your jobs, I'm sure you'd be a lot better at your jobs.
Yeah.
You know, you focus on your job. A lot of people go to work. This is why I hate the fucking holidays. Because it's a 6-month mind fuck on some people. So if you own a business, you got people thinking about, well, I gotta get my Uncle Leo a shirt. I don't give a fuck about your Uncle Leo. What the fuck are you? Jesus was a fucking Jew. He got, you know what I'm saying? Get it together. And that happens constantly with people. They lose their, you know, I look at this, I have a friend that I went to high school with. I love her. I dated her for a long time. There was only one problem, bro. She's one of those people that's always talking about the next vacation. Since we were kids. Since we were kids. Seriously. Since we were kids, she was always, in October, I'm going to go to San Francisco. And you're like, you know, and she was a sweetheart of a girl, but she was a travel agent for a while. And it's like, I can't imagine being her husband.
Yeah.
Because they're always... You know, on Sunday, she couldn't fucking just sit still. No. She wanted to go to a farmer's market in Connecticut because they sell apples made with honey. I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Get it together. I got shit to do, cocksucker. What's going on, Lisa? You bad motherfucker, you?
I'm going through a fucking moving now, and it sucks, but I think I found a place.
So did you good. Find a nice place?
Well, see, I mean, because I'm going through the thing right now where either the amount of money, I could either have a nice place in, like, the hood, or I could have a smaller place in a nicer area. So I think I'm going to go with a smaller place in the nicer area. I'm too white to be in the hood. I did that once. I did that over by the hookers and on Sepulveda, and I can't do that again. I don't think I was supposed to be
there. After a while, you got to have a nice place and take care of yourself, you know. And that's what else. I never had my own space. After my mother died, till I was 30, I was on people's couches.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm an only child. My mind fucking requires a little fucking peace. And it's amazingly that I'm 50. I don't feel 50. But again, you see it. You have to conserve your energy. I never really had to conserve my energy before. You know, I do this. I love getting up and doing this. I'm wide awake. You know?
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. This shit don't bother me. Some weird shit happened, Lee.
What happened?
And like I tell you, I always, I'm very happy that my memory always is sharp. But it really isn't at the end of the day. It's just better than most motherfuckers. Because most people forget everything they fucking do. You know, sometimes when I tell a story, I'm even blown away from it. So I'm talking to a friend of mine. I get out of the plane yesterday, boom, I land. My phone rings as I'm checking out of the airport. And it's a friend of mine. He goes, hey, I went to a party last night. And I bumped into a lot of your old friends. And one of them was saying that he wants to write a book, but because of his position in the town, he can't do it. And he was thinking about writing under your name. And I go, you know, I'd love to write a book about North Berg. And it just, you know, and he goes, wouldn't you think that? And I go, no, you wouldn't be ratting on anybody. You'd just be talking about the lessons we learned. It's like this thing that's going on right now with the mayor in Jersey, the fatty guy, whatever.
The governor. Christy. I was going to ask you about that. That's crazy. Tunnel.
Listen, let me tell you something, my friend. If you don't think he fucking knew, you think his aides came up with this and didn't say this to this fucking guy, that's how New Jersey is. You know, Christie's got something against my mayor, Mayor Sacco in North Bergen, and I understand the whole politic game. But for him to sit there, he's a great liar, Governor Christie. For him to sit there and say,
oh yeah, he's going to be president in a few years.
I don't know if he's going to be president. This might knock him. I liked how he addressed it. But I don't think he'll be president because he's something to do in New Jersey. And all those guys took an envelope at one time or another. And once you take an envelope, see, 30 years ago, you could take a fucking envelope. Mm-hmm. But now you can't take an envelope because the guys that give you the fucking envelope rat you out. That's how bad it is. The guys that gave you the envelope now will rat on you when they get into a fucking bind.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to fucking take an envelope and run for president. That shit'll go so far. I'm surprised he's been there so far. But see, it's already starting to backbite. Something. When you're in that political thing, they approach you. And you have no fucking choice. Because you're surrounded. It's too many of them. It's too many. You're just one governor. And it's 18 different capos in a fucking district. And they could change your fucking lights by. And it's amazing how the mob and politics works in New Jersey.
So you definitely think he knew?
Mm-hmm.
So for people who don't know, it was the George Washington Bridge, and like last year, they closed one.
But lane. Number two, also, Fort Lee, New Jersey is like the third or fourth Asian population in the country. So you got your own fucking problems. That's what those people don't fucking know. Fort Lee's always been filled with fucking Bruce Lee's nephews. Always.
I wish you said that on the air.
No, what do you want me to fucking say? I'm the only one that's going to say it. It's the truth. I'll call George right now. Fort Lee, New Jersey has always been like for the last 15, 20 years. They've been the second biggest Asian population. Koreans and shit driving on the right-hand fucking side. Still, they put steering wheels because they're confused. Japanese people. So, for Governor Christie to fucking add to this, you know, he's over there. I don't know what happened. Listen, your age, just don't wait. Nobody fucking leave. Let me ask you something. All right, let's be honest. Let's take it to the next level. You and me are friends. If you found out that somebody, that another podcast network fucked with us, and in your mind you said, you know what, I'm not even going to tell Joey. I'm just going to take action. I'm going to go shoot these motherfuckers. Let Joey find out later. You wouldn't do that, Lee. You'd always come to me and say, I'm a little fucking pissed off. I have an idea.
Yeah, you're right.
You follow me? Yeah. He said, well, let's take it. No assistant gets paid that much to want to be a killer for somebody else. Okay? Don't, please, insult us. And this is what I'm saying to you people. Growing up there, I studied the worst politics there are, Hudson County politics and Cook County, Chicago, whatever.
Chicago is crazy.
Okay, Chicago's politics are off the chain. It's a lesson to live there. When you live there and you see right through it, that'll carry you for the rest of your life because you see through bullshit. You see through bullshit in so many fucking angles. And Governor Christie, you know, has a cabinet of aides, a bunch of scumbags, in other words, that sit around you, that you know, yes, mayor, no, mayor, you know, well, yes, governor, no, governor. I mean, you see it and you want to fucking shoot yourself in the fucking head because they act like there's this fucking Buddha, like they know all, but because of their need for power, they fucking slip all the time. That need for power makes them slip. They just can't be content with what they have. Once they get that little taste, man, look at the mayor of North Bergen. He's been there for 19 years. This guy, I know that fucking mutt when he was a school teacher at Lincoln School. I know that fucking mutt in Sacco when he was this fucking principal at Lincoln School. And Rago used to fucking abuse him and shit. Now he's the mayor, having affairs, getting his dick sucked.
It must be easy to let it slip like that.
Sure, it's got to slip because you got 19 people doing your fucking job. But there's too many people involved for you to do anything lately. The biggest thing you have in your life is when you do something with three or four people in a fucking room.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to send you to fucking jail. All those mayors in Hudson County, Hoboken, Union City, Jersey City, all those mayors always end up in one place. Check it out. Go to Wikipedia. Hudson County mayors. They all end up in fucking prison.
Same with Chicago.
All of them.
It's like all Illinois governors.
Because they're fucking corrupt. It's not that even corrupt. It's that you slip. We're all fucking sinners. Ask Joel Osteen. We're all fucking sinners.
You
loved
Joel Osteen recently.
Nah, he's a bad motherfucker, dog. You know, we're all fucking sinners at the end, and it's right in front of us. It's our human nature to slip like that. You know, can you imagine, Lee, that you go from being Lisa, yeah, to a different fucking girl knocking on your door here every night? For me, getting you water. For me, getting you, no, Mr. Governor, let me, you know, oh, Mr. Governor works out. You got a guy drying you off, telling you what's going on, reading the paper to you while you're doing jumping jacks. That's extreme. And pretty soon you start to believe it.
Yeah, I know.
You start to believe it. You start to believe it, and that's when you fucking slip. And it's very easy to go, hey, that fucking Lee Syed, he thinks he's a bad motherfucker. Go do that thing with the Lincoln Tunnel. Get that guy on the phone. Block it off. We'll put this in the paper. See how long he'll be fucking mayor. High five. And they start high-fiving. It's like when you see the feds when they arrest it like Gotti. Hey, Hype, oh my God, today a big thing happened in law enforcement. Nothing happened. You went after Pete, but now you got Joe to deal with. He's fucking robbing with three hands. Because while you're looking at Pete, Joe's stealing with 19 fucking hands. You don't think they know that? So while you think you covered a hole in the fucking levee, three more opened up, you fucking moron. Do you understand me how this works? So as long as you know this going in, this will be with you the rest of your fucking life. That's what I realized growing up in North Bergen, New Jersey. That's why you can't pull the fucking wool out of my eyes. Every once in a while, I'll fucking slip. But for the most part, politically, like when I see political things, or when what a coincidence that this guy said fag, and all of a sudden a month later, the show's premiering. Duck Dynasty.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you see that move, people, or did you not see that fucking move coming? I didn't even know when the season was starting, but I knew there was a by the way here. Again, these guys have the highest rated show in cable history. They're not satisfied. So that's how you slip up. You know how many people, because listen, whether it's good or bad, some people are going to get affected by it. And they're either going to move on or go, I saw through the fucking move. Oh, my God. What am I for? Nobody wants to see the lights turned on them. Then they feel fucking bad. But anyway, what are we talking about?
About North Bergen. Yeah, about North Bergen, yeah.
So he tells me this, whatever. And I'm like, you know what? I got to start writing my fucking book. I go in last night. I'm checking my messages. And behold, in front of me, I got a message from a kid that says, how you doing? My name is blah, 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 blah. My mom was Eileen Mooney. And I've never really talked about Eileen Mooney, and I felt fucking horrible. Eileen Mooney was a girl I met my freshman year. That was not the... excuse me. She wasn't Farrah Fawcett. But what she lacked in looks, she had in warmth. It was overwhelming. I met her on the football field. She was one of the stack girls or whatever. Overbite, you know, brown hair, Irish to the fucking end, very outlandish, whatever. And when you're 15 or 14, you don't really know. If a girl talks to you, looks at you right away, she wants to fuck you.
Yeah.
And she used to talk to me all the time, and I didn't know what to expect. You know, I was shy. I wasn't the best looking fucking kid. And then I got sick my sophomore year, and she showed up at the hospital with a bunch of hot girls. And she had a boyfriend, so I know she didn't want to fuck me. So she taught me the gift of having a girl that was just a friend. Because I told it on the Beauty and the Beast podcast. One of the things that we lack as of men is we want to fuck everybody. And you can't fuck everybody. You got to have some broads as your friends. It helps you out. It balances you to have a female flavor in your fucking life, mm-hmm. You know? So she did that for me. And we were friends over the years, and we used to giggle. And she was sleeping with one of my buddies. And I don't know what happened. She started sleeping with one of his brothers. Which, that guy was one of my best friends, Jimmy Burkle, who just died last April. So I don't know what the fuck happened. You know, my life went into a tailspin. My mother died. She showed up at the wake. And we were all friends for years. You know, the drugs came in. But there was this band. She was a little older than I was. Maybe 2 years older than I was. Or maybe a year older. But she acted. In those days, to be 16, you were 25 as a woman.
Yeah.
You went to clubs in New York. There was this popular band right now. In fact, the Passmasters, Steve Avillo's band, their roots were in a band called The Bangs. The Bangs were a huge bar band in the 70s in New Jersey, Connecticut, in that area. And they had people who would follow them. She was one of those girls, I think,
okay.
That would go see The Bangs. But she was not I don't want to say she was promiscuous, you know. God forbid. She was a girl, guy. She was a girl. In those days, you were broke. You went out. You know, you showed some cleavage, some guys bought you drinks. We knew the deal. We used to hear them talk, and I used to laugh. Jesus, you girls go out and do that? I don't know when. It was right before I went to Colorado. She was dating somebody. She went out. She came home. The doorbell rang at 2 a.m. She opened the door, and they shot her in the fucking face.
What?
The cigarette was still lit in her face when the cops got there. She had a brother who was a fucking savage, who was a cop. They had to go arrest him and take this gun away from him. It shocked the community. It shocked the family.
Her brother did it?
No. Some guy she was dating got blasted one night and was jealous and went and shot her, you know, and it was a shock to the community, but she had left a girl and a baby boy. This son contacted me and says that he wants to write a book about her and that he didn't know, he doesn't want to write about the murder, but the beauty that she had and because he heard such great things and how she grew up and blah, blah, blah. And the murder was, you know, I don't know who did it, you know. And it's like I emailed him back yesterday that at that time, 82, 83, it was fucking crazy. And that fed into the craziness. So it seemed like something. I was going to Colorado. It seemed like something. I didn't even go to the wake, I don't think. I was trying to think last night when I went to the wake. And then I started thinking about when I was writing him back the message that here I was, her friend, and I don't really have an answer for him on what happened. Because, and it makes me feel bad. Because she was a friend.
But you can't know. Like, that seems like something that's really, like, personal. Like, if it's an issue with, like, she had with her boyfriend, you can't be expected to know, like, that deep into someone's life.
We were that close. Not me and her, but that community was that close.
But, like, let's say, I mean, I know at the end they did, but did your friends in Colorado know, like, when you started having problems with Carol, your ex-wife, did they know then? Because it seems like you wouldn't say that at the beginning. It seems like you kind of keep that inside. I don't know.
I don't know what happened. I don't know how I reacted to her death, and it just bothered me last night because I was in that circle. Not really her circle, but I was in the circle next to it, and I don't remember, you know, it was just fucked up. I remember they arrested the guy, and they gave him a life sentence or something, or 10 years. I don't know what happened, but I didn't know what had happened to the boy, and this just shocked me last night. But the other side of this that shocked me was, to a guy like me, it means that she's still alive, you know? Like, I like all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody's still thinking about somebody. I mean, for God's sake, it was his fucking mother. They shot him. I think he said he was 4.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, and after having Ray Cannell on last week and talking about that side, like, it didn't end for me for a long time, guys. Like, it just didn't fucking end. And after a while, I felt like a fucking schlep rock, you know? Like, that's what it was. When she got shot, I was like, I'm over it already. I got over it when Dominic died. Like, now, just keep them piling. Keep piling those fucking bodies up now. I don't give a fuck. But I did give a fuck. It was just that's why I reacted, because it hit me a little bit last night, her death. At the time, I was so numb from the drugs, and I was so piled up into my life that I didn't feel what she meant to me. And that's what I'm trying to say, Lee. That's what I'm trying to say, that I felt bad because it didn't hit me. It hit me last night. It took me a while to fall asleep last night. Took me a long fucking time to fall asleep. It's so sad that all those kids I grew up with died like that. And I always think that, and that was one of the things, I always wanted to feel like I was living for them. You know, not much Eileen Mooney, but the kids that Ray Cannella talked about downtown. Ray was great. He hit me up a couple times. It's weird. For me, it's weird to even still talk to Ray. Like, now I'm happy I have his phone number so I could talk to Ray once a week. I still got to get my other buddy on, Dean Lapree, who was also in the band.
Okay.
And you guys, but he said that he'll never fucking call in. He
told really?
Me point blank he would never call in. In fact, he was so scared of me that the last time we spoke, I said, think about it and I'll give you a call. He wouldn't even call. He Facebooked me before I could even fucking call him.
It's crazy you say that, though, because when I went home for the holidays, I had, for my bar mitzvah, my mom made this mural just of pictures of me growing up, and she did the same thing for my brother. And I was looking at my brother's, and there's a picture of him with this kid who grew up like 2 streets down. And there was a brother my age and a brother his age and a couple of other brothers. And when the guy my brother's age was in college, at like 20 years old, one day he just jumped in front of a train and he killed himself. And I never really thought about it because we never really hung out. But I always saw him. We would get on the bus together and stuff. And just seeing his picture there as like a 10-year-old kid, I can't even imagine. Like, I didn't really process it when it happened. But he was 20 years old, and he just jumped in front of, and I just saw his picture as like a 10-year-old. Like, it like freaked me out for like a day when I was home.
Like, at 20, you're so full of life, you know, to take your life away like that. And that's what happened to Eileen Mooney. And it just, and I had it happen about a month and a half ago. A girl that I grew up with called me out of the blue and said, hey, man, congratulations on the De Niro movie. And we started talking, and I said to her, what have happened to such and such? She goes, you know what? I'm going to look into that girl. And she called back 2 days and she goes, she died. She died last year at 49 years old, you know. So I contacted, she told me to go look it up, her picture, and she told me the kid's name on Facebook. So I went to Facebook, looked up the kid's name, and there was a picture of her.
Mm-hmm.
So I hit him up and asked him what happened. And about a month later, he hit me back and he goes, you know, it's weird because way before you contacted me, I was into your comedy from the Joe Rogan podcast, and here you are hitting me up, asking me about my mom, and it felt great, and blah, blah, blah. So I asked my dad, and my dad said she did know you, Coco,
mm-hmm.
from Jersey, and, you know, can you tell me one of her stories, you know, and one of my most famous stories with her was being in New York, snorting blow with fucking Paul Newman's daughter. And we were upstairs in the... I've told this story. We were upstairs in the room, me, her, and Lubes. And Lubes opens up a drawer, and there's a bag of fucking blow.
Oh, you have told this story. Okay.
I had about, I don't know how many ounces in there, and I go, we should take some of it. And she goes, fuck it. Let's take it all. But that was, you know, one thing about Regina that she taught me was that I had a... For a long couple of years, I was a little confused, Lee. For years there, after my mother's death, I became meek. Like, I didn't want to pull the trigger. I had forgotten who I was, that the drugs had watered me down and the effect of the death had watered me down. But it was Regina Gordon and Mike Runney who had such a suck-my-dick attitude. Like, go fuck your mother, suck-my-dick attitude. Like, Runney fucking and pounded it into me. And hanging out with Regina that last year before I left New Jersey, we would go out at night, and she had this attitude, like, watch me. Like, Regina, go up there and tell that guy you're fucking whatever and you want some blow. Okay, watch, man. You go, no, I was just fucking around. Watch. And she come back with a gram of fucking blow. And laughing about it. She didn't give a fuck, Lee. She didn't give a fuck. And people say they don't give a fuck in life. I don't give a fuck. There's people that are just talking. There's people that really don't give a fuck. And she was one of them, and Mike Runney was one of them. And it really rubbed off on me at an age where I needed to have that. I was a little bit too uptight. I was a little bit too, well, what are they going to think about? No, who gives a fuck? Go in there and tell that motherfucker to suck your dick. And that was Regina. So I don't know how to put that on paper to tell the son. That's my favorite story of hers. That I don't want to tell somebody a story about drugs. I don't want to tell some kid that the best time me and your mom had was being in the city and taking some guys out to blow.
I don't think it's the same. Because, like, that's why I don't let my mom listen to the podcast, because she's from a generation where it would freak her out. But I think in this day and age, like, I think that's maybe why you're having problems writing the book. I don't think it's that bad anymore, because it taught you a life lesson, and you don't do coke anymore. And, yeah, it hurt some people, but if that's where you learned your life lesson, it's good. I mean, no one should do coke, but if a happy story of you and his mom... like, it still sticks with you that day, I would want to hear it.
You know how much it devastated me when I found out my dad did drugs? Do you know how much it devastated me years later?
But right then, does it still devastate you?
Yeah, really? It devastates me. And you know what's going to be devastating? That Mercy's going to know that I did drugs by listening to these podcasts or looking at an old video. And I don't want, you know, I never wanted a kid to, you know, I always think it hurts when a kid knows that his parents get high. I always don't like that, because now it makes your hero get high. Listen, no matter how you look at it, your parents are your heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Until a certain age. Then you discover Carl Yastrzemski, you discover fucking Gus Williams or Gus Johnson. You know what I'm saying? But the inner core of your life, your parents are your fucking heroes.
Yeah.
Once you realize if they're slip, it makes your slip more probable, and it makes your slip easier to slip, because your parents did it.
But what if it's not a slip? What if, like... When I grew up, they had the DARE program where the drugs were the worst thing, and it didn't work. I understand coke's bad, and you're always going to tell Mercy to not do it. But if she grows up in a family where you're just honest, and you're like, yeah, I smoke pot, and you should wait to do it, but it's not the worst thing, I don't think it'd be that traumatizing for her.
You know, Lee, I wonder what a national poll would be if they seen how many people get high and if their parents got high.
I'm sure most people.
And then if they tested to see if they knew, when did you know that your parents got high? I wonder if it affects in your making the decision of getting high. I really wonder what this. I know for years I lied to myself. 4 or 3 years, I said, you know, I'm not going to put nothing up my nose. And I'll tell you what, I don't know what the worst thing was. The death of my mother, the death of the kids around me, or what deteriorated my inner belief system the worst than when I put powder in my nose. Because for so long I was against it. I was so fucking against it. I was so disgusted by it. I couldn't believe a human being would put something in their fucking nose. So by the time came, it's like the first day I had bad credit. When I was 30, I got divorced. 28, I got divorced. And my main goal always was to have great credit. If I had a payment due on the 23rd, I paid on the 21st. The day I couldn't make a payment, Lee, that day, that I still remember how bad I felt. Once I didn't make that payment, I said, fuck the rest of the payments. Because it broke my belief, you know? And it takes a long time to get your inner belief back once the drugs breaks it. And that's something that I realized years later. I thought about that. You know, it's a joke when I say that story about being a little kid and my mom having a pinata for the adults, aluminum foil, and she'd go get me that fucking... It's a joke, but it really isn't. It's really fucking sad. And at that time, my mom had to fucking tell me. In her world and how the person she was, she had to tell me. Because I think she would have thought it would have devastated me if I would have found out a different way, and it would have. So it's a two-edged sword for a guy like me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's a two-edged sword. That's how I feel, cocksucker. What are you looking at me like that for?
No, I'm just... There was a guy at the grocery store the other day, like a few weeks ago, asking me to donate to get Dare back. And I didn't want to do it because it... I feel like it's the wrong message, and I definitely don't... Because... For you, you don't drink because you had your mom had a bar and you saw what it did, and you still don't drink. And you drank a little bit when doing coke, but it was never like a huge...
I drank one this week and I had two shots of Jaeger at the bar Friday night.
Yeah, you had two shots and... But most people have that every weekend, so drinking never got to you. So I don't think... I don't think your mom doing it affected you. I don't think that's the reason why you did coke. I think that's just part of
No, it was part of the scenario.
So I don't think Mercy personally, if because knowing the way you and your wife are, I don't think you're gonna try to hide it. I don't think you're gonna start smoking outside and if anyone comes up to you talking about Chupa Chups, you're not gonna throw them away. I think from an early age, she's gonna know about weed and she'll probably want to try it, but I don't think she's gonna.
I don't want to smoke in the house. I don't smoke in the house now when she's around at all. And if I smoke in that bedroom at night, the door's closed, I open up the window, I Febreze it, I light a candle.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying you're smoking in front of her, but...
Yeah, I don't want it to be open. My wife don't smoke.
I don't think you're going to hide it from her.
I don't know yet. I do not know yet. I do not know how to act yet around it. She's been around for a year, and I'm still getting used to this shit. She's growing.
Because she's still kind of relegated to one area. Yeah. She's almost to that point where she's going to be running around.
Yeah, she could open up the gates now. She figured it out.
Oh, she did?
She had to loosen it and open it. It's amazing how fast and they move and do their fucking shit. So, get up, cocksuckers. It's Monday. Where's I want to be around real quick before I call? Let's fucking do this shit. A little something for the fucking spirits on a Monday. Get your shit together, cocksuckers. Write your goals. Smoke some dope. Eat some oatmeal. I want to be around. Your resolutions start today. To pick up the pieces. Resolutions to start every day. They start every day in my life. Somebody breaks your heart. Sing it, Lee, you cocksucker.
Somebody twice as smart. As I...
Are you fucking kidding me or what? There's somebody who
will swear to be true.
I wonder how much Tony Bennett wants for the rights to this song. I think we should try to buy it from him.
He wants too much loot. Tony Bennett's a fucking animale. You know what I'm saying? He wants too much fucking loot, Lee.
Probably.
What else is going on, you bad motherfucker?
No, I'm trying to think. I mean, it's just I'm going through the thing. Oh, the mom, I went and had lunch with the girl the other day, and the mom made me. I should show you how much food she brought me, but she made me Mexican chicken noodle soup. So I've never had that before with the girlfriend's mom.
With the fucking chicken's head in there with the beak.
You know? Oh no, she took that out. She made that with pozole once, and that freaked me out a little bit.
What'd you see? What, the eyeballs?
No. The head was in there, but like the whole chicken was in there. But, no, she made me, like, so much food, and she called yesterday, and I can't talk directly to her, really, because she doesn't speak English. But she was over the phone saying, does he want more food, or... It's a cool thing to have.
And, a Mexican mother-in-law.
Oh, yeah, she's great. The chicken noodle soup, I don't like it, usually, but it was spicy, it was...
That shit'll take the fucking flu right out of you.
Oh, my God, yeah.
HIV, flu... A fucking pink eye. You just rub it on.
She was gonna make me voodoo stuff, and I couldn't do it.
Voodoo stuff.
She does like this voodoo drink, and I can't do it.
Now, what about they put the lime in the soup?
Probably.
Yeah, they put the lime in the soup. That like the Cubans. That gives it the fucking way. I took my wife to El Cochinito a couple weeks ago, and she was sick, and I gave her the fucking Cuban chicken soup with the big piece of corn in it, and they give you lime. Oh, okay. Oh my God! And you can see the difference. You could see the texture of the bones, like the juice from the fucking marrow is in there, because they throw the whole chicken alive. There's mud in there. There's chicken shit. And all mixed together just zaps fucking germs. It's amazing.
I feel bad for my mom, because there's no way, like, I like my mom's cooking, and she's a great cook, but there's just no comparison, really, when you look at it. And it's just, our kids are never going to know the difference.
Like, no, it's amazing, though. It's... You wonder what California would be like without Mexicans. They'd be still eating In-N-Out burgers.
Oh, yeah.
They'd be online waiting for fucking In-N-Out
burgers. Have you ever tried to have Mexican food on the East Coast? We didn't. I was joking with Paula.
It's horrendously bad. Let me tell you what happens when you take a Mexican from here, or a Mexican that knows food, to the East Coast. They want to cancel out everything and open up a Mexican restaurant.
I told Paula's mom, live here for 2 years, you'll be a millionaire.
You're a millionaire. And you start small, an office that just does burritos that deliver.
Just the tacos.
Just the tacos.
Because they don't have those little... They don't have
they
those,
don't
just
have
the meat
that.
Tacos.
They don't
back
have
there.
That. No. They don't have nothing like that. And what they do have is horrendously bad. And it's overpriced.
Yep.
And it's like the Italians that are here. You know, they're three generations away. The food blows. They give you this ciabatta bread. What the fuck is ciabatta bread? Who the fuck invented ciabatta bread? Fucking Jack in the Box. And the whole... It's amazing. Every fucking 6 months, one of these fast food chains invents a new fucking word. This restaurant I was at in Buffalo, it was a great place, but everything was ciabatta bread. This is Buffalo, bitch. There ain't no fucking ciabatta bread in Buffalo. This is a motherfucking wick type of town. Get your shit together. But it's amazing. Everybody wants to be trendy and shit. Yeah. You know, and rosemary ciabatta. It's going to be a piece of fucking Italian bread, cocksucker. And make this easy on everybody, you fucking momo. I talked about ranch dressing up there. They fucking hate it. Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, they must. Go ahead.
Oh, shit. What's happening, my brother?
How you doing?
You know me, dog. Waiting on you. Making sure it's a beautiful day to be alive. George, MMA junkie on the phone, ladies and gentlemen. What's happening, baby?
Not much, man. Just getting ready to tackle the week. You know what I'm saying? It's been a little slow in my world, the MMA world. A few weeks off, no major shows, but they're coming, and some good fights are coming our way.
Where are you coming from right now? You coming back from the gym?
No. You know, actually, in my area, AT&T just doesn't have good service. So, you know, the couple times I've been lucky enough to do your guys' show, I get in the car, and I drive down about two blocks away where the coverage improves dramatically. So I'm just in the car chilling.
Yeah, I can't believe that it's been like... ever since the first of the year, there's nothing. People have been fucking really jonesing. I think Glory was the last thing, right? Wasn't? I don't even know. That's how fucking confused I was by the holidays.
Yeah. Technically, there was Glory, and then there was UFC 168. And then after that, it's just a few weeks off. It really isn't much. There's no off season. But for us, it feels like a lot when you can take 2-3 weeks off from, from the job, I guess. So it does freshen things up, though.
No. So it kicks off Wednesday, right? With Philippou against Luke Bruckhold, whatever his fucking name is, Luckhold or something.
Yeah. Luke Bruckhold versus Costa Philippou.
That's a great fight.
Coming off a loss, but they're beasts, you know, so it should be a good main event.
And then Saturday we got fights also, or the following week we have fights. We have Chicago.
Yeah, if we're just going to stick to the UFC theme, then you're right. We have to wait till the following week when they go to UFC goes on Big Fox out in Chicago.
And who's on that card?
They got the World Series of Fighting. That's going to happen this weekend. And then, of course, Access TV. You have all the different cards, you know, the regional cards from all over the world. They're pretty consistent. But the UFC's on the 25th, and then right before Super Bowl they have a card. And then they come back to Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. So they have about a month where, like, 3 weeks is pretty active.
So let's start with Chicago. Who's in the Chicago card?
That one's headlined by Josh Thompson versus Benson Henderson.
Oh, so shit!
These guys are...
Yeah, that's right. I forgot
guys
about
are
that.
Aiming for Anthony Pettis' belt in the lightweight division, 155 pounds.
Okay, and then after that, you've got the Super Bowl card in New Jersey, the night before the Super Bowl. Who's headlining that card? That's Uriah Faber against Barao, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the actual bantamweight champion now.
Right, Dominic Cruz.
Dominic Cruz had to relinquish the belt because he got hurt again. So he'll be defending against Uriah Faber. And then the other one is Jose Aldo versus Ricardo Lamas. So two titles at stake there for the UFC in the lower weight classes.
Wow. Who else is on that card for the Super Bowl? There was some other
fight. That one's got Frank Mir and Alistair Overeem. He's back.
Oh, shit. And this could be do or die for Frank Mir, you know. Oh, and Alistair Overeem. They're both coming off two losses, correct?
Yeah, actually, Mir's coming off three. Overeem's coming off two. But I'll tell you what, you know, the stakes are really high because both guys are getting up there in age. Nobody wants to be, the loser of four straight fights. Because at that point, you know, the fans are going to want you to contemplate retirement, maybe your family, maybe, hell, yourself. The promotion may even give you the boot. I mean, both guys are popular. They've been around for a long time, but, you know, it's becoming a young man's sport.
It's the changing of the guard again. Last night I was watching, I was just going through the channels, and I was watching Junior against Roy Nelson. And yeah. Junior and him were pounding the fuck out of each other. I mean, karate kicking, punches to the midsection, kicks. And I looked to see what year that was, and it was 2010. Maybe the card, the fight was maybe 2009. I'm not sure. But it's amazing on how fast those two guys, I don't want to say they were relevant in the heavyweight division, but not right now. You're looking at, you know, some other guys in the heavyweight division that are, take who just beat the babyface assassin. Like right now, he's very...
Yeah, Travis Brown.
You know, it's amazing how fast the guard is changing. You know, yesterday I bumped into somebody at the airport, and we were talking about that they're already planning the return of Anderson Silva against GSP. You know, it's like, in a way, we're holding on to those two. But
yeah, it's funny because in boxing, people say, do you still want to see Manny and Floyd? And I say, of course I do. They're both great fighters. The only problem is I wanted to see it more 3 years ago.
Right.
I'll still take it. It lost a little bit of its buzz. But I'll still take it. I'm a fight fan. So the same thing goes for Anderson Silva and GSP. You know, GSP's taking that little hiatus. Anderson Silva obviously is recovering from a serious injury. But I think both will be back. And now maybe without the titles, maybe they'll do it. Maybe they'll feel like that pressure's off or whatever. And maybe they'll make the fight happen. But it won't be as big as it would have been 2-3 years ago.
It's amazing how I watched somebody on Twitter yesterday, John Fitch, when is your next fight? You know, John Fitch is in the World Series now. I'm still one of his biggest fans, but it's like 3 years ago, him and the other guy from AKA, and I haven't even heard from the other guy in AKA. The one that left and opened up his own gym?
Mike Swick. He's down in Thailand.
No, the other guy.
No, you're thinking of Josh Koscheck.
Yeah.
Well, about 2 months ago, a guy named Tyron Woodley knocked out Josh Koscheck.
Right, I remember that. Right, I fucked.
So Koscheck's also working off the loss before that, which is to Robbie Lawler. So he's on a two-fight losing streak himself. Now he's 35, 36. I'm telling you, man, father time, it just catches up with all of us.
It's really amazing how fast the sport's going, but it's a big-time changing of the guard. And listen, it's for the better in a way. That 185, and I've discussed it before, it's stacked. We haven't even seen Jacare really fucking come out yet. You know, the Machida's at 185. I mean, Weidman, I love him to death, but he's in the fucking mouth of the valley. Who's in the Bible that they said to him, you're in the mouth of the Moses or somebody? Who the fuck was it, Lee? You're Jewish. What the fuck, cocksucker? Somebody was in the valley of darkness, and they fucking called Jesus. He's like, you're fucked. Weidman's got Vitor, Jacare, Machida. You know, he's 170 is fucking stacked with the... I mean, I can't wait to see Fidel against, what's his name in Dallas? Robbie Lawler. That's going to be a fucking fisticuff. Somebody's head might fucking come off in Dallas. I mean, there's some great fight cards coming up. I just found out about Orlando. Who the fuck is fighting in Mickey Mouseville?
Orlando? Yeah. You're breaking news to me. I didn't hear about Orlando. What's happening in Orlando?
I don't know. There's a fight in fucking Orlando. Who the fuck fights in Orlando? I thought Mickey Mouse said no fucking hair pulling here. It's the week before Baltimore. They're having something in Orlando.
Okay. Yeah, so Baltimore is in April.
April 25th.
April, John Jones versus Glover Teixeira. 1 week before, they may have something in Orlando, the UFC Fight Night Series.
Right.
Those fights sometimes get announced, you know, and I may, you know, get backed up a day or two on the smaller cards. So I could see that because they usually use those cards to promote the bigger cards.
So the last time we spoke about a little issue you had that I had gone through for a long time. I don't know if you want to discuss it, you know, but it helped me out talking about it.
I've kind of brought it up before to our audience, and the anxiety stuff, man. I'll tell you what, do you remember that show, Jersey Shore?
Yeah.
You guys remember that?
Yes.
It was a kid named Vinny, one of the meatheads or whatever, one of the what they call them? Not juice heads, but
Goombas, whatever.
Goomba, yeah, those guys. And you know, those guys were starting to get paid $100,000 an episode, and all they did was get paid to party, bang broads, and or whatever. And one of the kids wanted to go home because he had anxiety, and I was like, what? Get the fuck out of here, anxiety? Give me a break. You couldn't have an easier life. What are you so anxious about? I mean, you know, you just act like a jackass, get drunk, bang a chick, and cash these checks. What's the big deal? And sure enough, man, within 6 months, I kind of started a little bout with it. And it's an everyday bout. Some days are worse than others. Luckily, the big ones are far and few in between. But the little ones can catch up to you here and there. And I, you know, whatever. What it was, I think, was just a wake-up call that, you know, life can be stressful. And sometimes you got to pick and choose what to really worry about. And so I'm trying not to worry about some of the small stuff anymore, you know, and just kind of do my thing and get healthy.
Walk me through your last anxiety attack and how it went down.
The last one, yeah. Because
you scared the fuck out of me. You scared the fuck out of me when you talk. And you know by the sound of my voice, when I told you that, I was like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck? So break down the last one to me.
All right, so the two big ones I had was January 2012 and then January 2013. So I already know that for whatever reason, sometime around the holidays, I start to do the funky chicken, you know, and worry about it. And so, you know, forecasting ahead, it was late December of this past year, 2013, and I was just, you know, trying to stay on top of things. I did my Christmas shopping early, things like that. Everything's good. I come back from visiting the parents. Everything's clicking, Joey Lee. I'm really, really feeling like, all right, cool. I'm, you know, a lot of things are under control. And I went to the press conference for UFC 168, and I'm over at the MGM, and I ran into Eric Paulson, who coaches Josh Barnett, and he was on that card, and Ed Soares, your buddy, my buddy, I know him. And I'm talking to both of them. I booked Nogueira for the show in studio, so I'm happy as a clam. Everything's going great. Now Dana White says, okay, we're going to stop this press conference, and we're going to do the pose down. So, you know, obviously, I walk up there. I was kind of sitting more with the fans, so I break out my camera, and I just want to see Misha and Rhonda and Josh and Travis and you know, Anderson and Weidman just kind of pose off. So I go up there to maybe get a little Instagram video going on. And then all of a sudden, some friendly guy says, hey, Manchester United fan, huh? Because I was wearing my jersey. I go, yeah. How about you? He says, Everton. And I clearly remember this. And then all of a sudden, my knees just kind of weakened and my heart starts racing a little. And that's kind of like what happens, I guess, sometimes when I get a little nervous or anxious. But he was pleasant. He wasn't confrontational. Everybody was cool. This is the part that pissed me off the most, is it just came out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden, my chest gets a little tight, and I go, oh, no. I go, and I told the guy, excuse me for a second, you know, and I kind of walk away, but in my mind, I'm going, what the fuck? So I walk towards the back of the room, and I see Ed Soares there, and I say, Ed, I go, can I speak to you for a second? He goes, sure. I go, man, I don't feel good. Can you just keep an eye on me? He says, yeah. So as he's doing that, I look for some water, and then I reach for those little Xanax pills that I have. Now, mind you, they gave me 30 of those in 2012 when I had the anxiety thing, when they said, take this if you ever feel that way. And over 2 years, I've only taken about 25 of them in, like, little half-bit pieces because I just don't want to get addicted to that shit. So I don't like taking it. But I was trying to calm myself down. I wasn't calming down. I think what happened is when you're around a lot of people, it starts to get worse because you start to think, oh, my God, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go here in front of a bunch of people, you know? And so I bit a little piece. I calmed down. I still wouldn't calm down. I went to MGM security. I said, hey, I'm not feeling good. And the paramedic came.
And what did the doctor say when you got there? What was the his thing for treatment?
By the time I got to the ER, I had already calmed down, and I realized, like always, I'm not going to have a heart attack. I've already had all the tests. And that was the one thing that was better than the two previous visits, was that I kind of knew I already wasn't going to have a heart attack. It's just I couldn't stop shaking, and my heart couldn't stop beating fast. So, you know, that's why I went. But by the time he got there, I knew what it was, and I knew I had a follow-up with my doctor coming up anyway. And they wanted to order a bunch of blood tests and things, and I just didn't want to do all that, and I didn't want to pay for all that. So I told him, hey, thank you. Sorry to bother you guys. I'm just going to walk out of here. So I had to sign a bunch of a few papers, and then I walked out of there. And every day since then, I've been pretty good, actually.
How you been feeling the last 3 weeks?
Pretty good. I can't complain. And like I said, I feel better that you know, if this was my one annual, you know, bout or whatever, I guess I'll take it because I kind of conquered it. I tried to deal with it. I really tried my best not to go to the ER, you know, and like I said, a lot of this is mental. But since then, I've tightened up the diet even more. I'm exercising, you know, a ton and, you know, just trying to stay on top of the job.
You know, the last, before like October, I was getting really bad anxiety. I got an anxiety attack sitting across from Lee at the desk one day. Lee didn't know. I had to take my fucking earphones off. Like, it got to that point for a couple months. From last March to about October, I was going through hell. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go to jiu-jitsu. And I started going to jiu-jitsu, and I would do hip escapes. My breathing would go to a different level, and I'd have to get up and take my gi off and my belt and anything tight on my body. And it was just horrible. I mean, it was fucking horrible, George. And I didn't know what to do, and I finally told the doctor, and he goes, go to a hypnotherapist. And that helped a little bit, you know, but it wasn't. It was just, George, my mind would just take off. It would just fucking race. I mean, it goes from point A to point B. Last night I was in bed thinking about this girl that I grew up with, and next thing you know, I was thinking horrible fucking thoughts, and I had to catch myself, you know. And it was the breathing was bothering me, George, because you know how when your heart starts to race, and once I get that shortness of breath, George, that's it. It takes off. Once I realize I think I'm gonna get a heart attack, it takes off. So she told me to think about the Island of Serenity. You know that. What's at the Island of Serenity? Nothing bad could happen to you. You know, I wrote down my perfect, my perfect scenario. What would it be, for me not to feel that way? And it was the breathing, George. Once the breathing took over me, George, I was off and running. That was it. And it started hitting me on planes, and I started blaming it on the edibles. You know, the edibles had something to do with it, the medical marijuana edibles. Right. It just makes your thoughts too real sometimes. So I lightened up on those for a while. In fact, the last, the week before Christmas, maybe the week before that, I've cut down like 80% of those things. I don't eat them at all every day. I was popping four of them in the daytime. I would start here with Lee at 6 in the morning. I stopped with those things. But you know what else? What really helped me, George? The working out. The walking. Even the fucking walking. Once you start getting that breath, you know what? Grab your keys and get out of the fucking house and go for a fucking walk. Because for me, it's too many thoughts in my mind at one time. And at my age, I can't alt, delete, and whatever anymore, right? Don't you do that to the computer? You shut it down or whatever?
Control, alt, delete.
Control, alt, delete, you know? And that's all it is sometimes. I think we just have 80,000 thoughts coming at one time, and our head explodes, and we start breathing. And then once the breathing takes over, our mind, that's all our mind needs to play a trick on us. So
and mine's happened as well while doing the radio show before, and I'll look at my brother and kind of give him a signal like, I got to step outside for a second, you know, and it's a live show just like you guys, so I try and hang in there, but there have been a couple times where like I say, in 2 years, maybe 2-3 times where I just told me I'm going to catch some fresh air. Nobody on the show knows it, and I just, you know, bounce for a second, catch my breath, get some water, and then, or whatever, but that's just it. I think we're letting ourselves let too much of our work, our thoughts, personal life, or whatever, just pile on. And in doing so, it becomes too much, you know, and the nervous system can't handle it. So what we have to do is prevent it and juggle your life a little bit better or shut some things down. And, you know, like, what, you know, which one, Joey, that I think I've identified is rest. Before I used to rest like 4 hours or 5 hours or something like that, kind of like not necessarily party or anything, but just, you know, between getting ready for work the night before or whatever, or maybe going out a little bit, but not necessarily hitting the bottle. But if the next day I just don't feel rested and you feel a little bit weak, I think that's when you're the most susceptible.
And I'll tell you what else helped me, and I don't know why I thought of this while I was talking to you. I started doing kettlebells. I joined an organized class. you know, I wasn't getting something at the YMCA. I was going in on the Y. I was hitting the bag for 30 minutes. I would get on the elliptical for 30 minutes, and I get the fuck out of there. You know, and that's great. At least I went down there and moved my blood around. But when I started going to kettlebells, it was under somebody else's whistle. Do you know what I mean? And yeah. What I liked about this guy is he's CPR. He told me he was a fireman for a long time. And he told me he brought people back to life like 3 times. So I said, you know what? If I go to this guy, I could go all out. And I could really breathe. And I tell you, I've paid 5 times already. And it's so weird that this last Wednesday I went. And he has a little classroom. It's a little gym. It's a box. He's got kettlebells and TRX. And I started doing the kettlebells. And when I do the kettlebells, I have to do them close to the door, George. Because when I would lose my breath, I have to run outside and breathe. I have to wear like a wristband on my left hand for the kettlebells because it hurts my wrist when I do the cleans. I even had to take that off. Do you know on Wednesday when I went, he made me do 10 sets of 10 in 10 minutes, which means you basically have a 45-second interval between each set. And he made me do 5 sets of 5 deadlifts, and I didn't walk out of the room one time. Because he's pushed me so much, George, and the breathing that I know nothing's going to... And there's times, George, I ain't going to lie to you, I'm breathing so heavy that I'm thinking to myself, today's the day. Like, I take aspirin before I go. Today's the day. But I know that he's there. And I know that if I pass out, he'll give me mouth-to-mouth or stick a finger in my belly button or whatever the fuck they do, squeeze your theater. So maybe that helped also, that he's pushed me a little more. And now the anxiety has gone down.
Because, that's awesome.
Because
man.
When we work out, George, I tell you what else gives me anxiety. When I have to sit in the inside seat on a plane and when I have to pee. When I have to pee, George, my anxiety goes, why do you fucking think I don't sit in my seats at the UFC? Because I would pee my
pants. I thought
pants.
It was because Momos are always tapping you on the shoulder saying, did you see that? And then when you turn over to your shoulders, you answer them. You really missed the
fight. Well, that's one of the things. But the most important thing was that I was sitting on the ground and I would have to go up those stairs with pee in my pants. And by the time I got up to the top level, I would pee my fucking pants from holding my breath. So I stopped going down to the floor seats because peeing to me, it gives me so... And it's fucking constant. I'll leave Lee's right now where there's a bathroom, get in my car... Start the car, and I got to pee, and I got to drive fucking 10 minutes to get home, and I'm ready to fucking jump out of the car and pee in the sidewalk. I do it all the time now. I'm at an age where I ain't got time. I ain't going to wait for a bathroom. I just take my dick out and make believe I'm checking something in the trunk, and I just pee fucking wildly. So I pissed at the airport yesterday. I don't give a fuck no more. It's fucking killing me, the pee situation. Before I go on stage, I mean, I could be sitting in a fucking green room, George, 20 minutes waiting to go on stage. And as the other guy walks up to bring me up, a pound of piss jumps into my fucking bladder, and now I can't pee. So I got to go on stage with the pee in my fucking ball sack for 45 to an hour. And as I'm walking up on stage, I have so much fucking anxiety until I open my big fat mouth, and then it all jumps out, and that's it, brother.
Maybe you should incorporate it in your act and show everybody how you can just pee on command. You know, people burp on command and do things on command, and that way... You know, it's a fallback in case you really have to do it. Just piss your pants.
For a long time, I wore 2 long shirts on stage, and people go, Joey, you got to change your wardrobe. No, they were long shirts, and they would cover the front of my dick, so if I peed before I went on stage, you wouldn't see the dot on my pants. They're tricks. Everybody does tricks, because I'd always go on stage with a pee dot on my pants, or it felt like a pee dot was on my pants from the leakage. You know, you don't want to wear a diaper at 45. What else is going on in the world of UFC that we could discuss real quick here? What else has been going on? What upcoming events? What have you heard?
Well, you know, we mentioned Anderson Silva earlier, and he, you know, he broke his leg, his fibula and tibia bones in half. That's down there by the shin. And so, you know, people were saying, will he ever come back? If he does, will he be the same? Things like that. But I'll tell you what, I knew it. A guy's competitive as he is, would not want to go out not only with a break like that, but also with a loss. And he actually recently did an interview, and I don't agree with him, but he's saying, you know, Chris Weidman shouldn't feel like he won because an accident was happening, and he said he felt like the fight was going to be his had it gone a distance. But it's a little too late for that one because, you know, they had 2 full rounds in fights 1 and 2, and Weidman won both of those. And Weidman got 2 finishes, regardless of how you look at it, whether one was a fluke and one he was goofing. They were wins, you know. So what I'm just happy about is that a great guy like him does want to fight again, because I think he's still fighting at a high level. I just don't know if it'll be at the level where he can get his title back, because he'll have to fight someone else and you know, maybe one or two fights before he gets a shot at Wiseman again. It's not an easy, it's not a, the most difficult sell in the world to watch that fight for the third time. That usually you don't say that, but they're doing it with Frankie Edgar and BJ Penn. They were willing to deal with Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell. They did it with Tito Ortiz and Shamrock, so it's not like they've shied away from it. But I think we'll see Anderson Silva fight again.
Listen, you know I'm a big fan of his, and I'm a big fan of Ed, and I'm a big fan of the sport. So I know how much the sport's going to miss Anderson Silva. He's got all the odds against him, but again, he's the fucking savage of life. I just hope he makes the right decision, whatever decision he makes. You know, sometimes we let emotions overtake our mind and we make a mistake. He's got money. I'm not going to write him off as not being the best of all time because of what happened. Everything comes to an end. They even got the Bruce Lee. You know, they even got the, they gave him a poison cookie, whatever the fuck they gave him. So at time comes, I don't want, and I hate to say this. I hate to say this because I was a bigger fan of his. I don't want to see a Chuck Liddell situation. I don't want to see a guy risking his future to prove something. You know, once you get knocked out once or twice, you're susceptible, bro. We've all seen it. You're susceptible. You know, Steve Young, Johnny Concussion. You know, you're susceptible. Why? You have nothing to prove to me. Same thing with
Speaking of Steve Young, how about them 49ers?
Oh, shit. Look at you talking to... Dog, you're talking in the wrong room. You're talking in front of my fucking friend, Lisa Ayat, who New England's coming off a fucking smashed bam-boom. And I sat in that room after they scored that one touchdown. I was sitting with Josh Potter in Buffalo. And I go, look at Andrew Luck. They shook him up right now. I go, as a matter of fact, they're going to intercept. Next pass, they fucking intercepted the third quarter. He goes, how'd you know? I go, listen, bro, New England is playing with a team that Tom Brady has carried this team. They got nobody.
I know.
They're in hurt. They're in prison. They're killing motherfuckers up there. I mean, he's up there by himself. Tom Brady is, listen, I grew up in the era of quarterbacks, and so did you, George. We grew up with, you know, when Montana was, you know, Marino and fucking Machine Gun Kelly. You know, there was, I don't know how many NFL teams are there, George.
32.
32. Out of 32 NFL teams, let's be honest, how many real quarterbacks do you have in the league now? Five.
Ten.
Maybe less than ten. Maybe. True, pure quarterbacks. This fucking Brady is a throwback. But then you got that fucking savage up in Denver who I knew they weren't going to cover the spread yesterday. They were giving 8 points. That was a fucking... On the Lord's Day in Denver, you got to give 30 points. They won by seven. And San Diego, whatever. So it's San Diego. It's Denver, New England next week in Denver.
Yeah, and San Francisco, Seattle.
That's it. That's the NFC and the AFC championship. Yep. Wow.
What do you think about Kaepernick? I'll tell you what, man. Kaepernick's pretty great.
Kaepernick. I'm glad you brought him up because I've been taking a lot of shit from a lot of our listeners because... The first game of the season, he threw for like 400 yards on Green Bay, and that was coming off the, them going to the Super Bowl. And so I made a proclamation. I said, hey, guys, I go, I'm telling you one thing. This kid's special. I wouldn't trade him for anybody. And, of course, I've taken a lot of shit and a lot of heat for that comment. And I've stuck by it, though. You know, and his performance went down during the year. Obviously, the Niners went into a little skid. They started off like 6-4, and then they peeled off six straight to end 12-4. But, you know, Kaepernick's not going to throw, he's not going to have 70% completions and four TDs and 400 yards every game. He's going to rarely do that. But what the guy can do is run and present that threat. And in the playoffs, you know, he showed it against Green Bay. Yesterday he passed a little bit more and ran a little bit less. But still, he's just making third downs, you know, and a lot of the better quarterbacks that do that, like Aaron Rodgers, aren't doing it. You know, and then Cam Newton had his chance yesterday as well. Towards the end of the game, through an interception, and I'm telling you, man, and we've been doing it on the road. So, going back to what I said, though, obviously there's a few guys that are very valuable, and you'd very seriously consider trading, you know, a guy like Kaepernick for if you can get two preseasons out of him, and maybe a couple Super Bowls, because the Niners have a Super Bowl caliber team right now, and I would agree that Tom Brady and Peyton Manning would probably be two of those guys, but those guys are like 37 years old, you know, and Kaepernick's only 26, so I still got another 10 years to go with that guy. Yeah, and that's how, you know, when you're a general manager in the NFL, not that I'm one of them, but I know how they think, you think about the future. So, do you mortgage all that for just a year or two or three? And, you know, some would say no, and that's why I stick by my comment. And now Kaepernick's getting ready to shove it up all those listeners and all those naysayers' ass. We're going to go up to Seattle, handle them, and then we're going to...
Oh, shit!
For the legend.
Look at George dropping some fucking knowledge on the Seahawks fans up there.
Do you think... I don't think Kaepernick's great, but like you won't see like a Brady and Manning because he won't last till he's 37. He'll have a great 5 or 6 years, but I don't think he can have the career that Brady or Manning had because they stay in the pocket and they try not to get hit too much. When you're running like that, it's like RG3. RG3 had 1 year, and maybe he'll come back next year. But the running quarterback, it's like I'm glad I don't have a running quarterback because at most I think you maybe get 5 years out of him.
No, that's a good point. But here's the thing: he's very smart and he's got a powerful arm.
Oh, he got his arm is crazy.
A little bit more to have a little more poise back there in the pocket, and he needs to get more accurate. And that's going to come with time. You know, you saw Cam Newton. He in years two he had some struggles. That was last year, and then this year he became a little bit more poised. He threw a beautiful touchdown pass yesterday. But if you'll notice, Kaepernick's very smart about when to go down. He's also a big boy, so a lot of those cornerbacks that usually take out the guys that are like 6 feet, 6'1", like, you know, like RG3 or Breeze or just, you know, even Russell Wilson, some of those hits can take effect. I mean, Kaepernick's like 6'5", 230. You know, he can lay you out too, but he's pretty smart. He knows when to get down. He knows when to get out of bounds. So I don't think we're going to have those kind of problems.
You know, it's funny how I really enjoyed the running quarterback for a few years. I like the aspect. It started with Randall Cunningham for me. You know, I grew up with Lawrence Taylor and the Giants, and Randall Cunningham really added a different dimension to it. But Lee is correct. It's too much. You need, when you have a running quarterback, you really need a number two that's deadly. Because what happened to Michael Vick? Is he still around this year? Or?
He got overtaken in Philly. He got hurt too much, and the guy who backed him up in Philly was better than him. So
he's not starting anymore.
He might. He says he wants to next year, but I don't know any good team who's going to want him.
It's just you know, I'm talking about we grew up on pure quarterbacks, guys. You know, it's beautiful when you watch Denver. If you watch Denver, all they do is simple. They have a phenomenal quarterback. But they put 8 white walls around him. Do you see those steak eaters they got around him? Do you see that? And that started with a man by the name of John Elway. They realized that to really let a quarterback go loose, you got to build a wall. You got to put Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, and the Beatles in front of these motherfuckers. They get fucking the biggest, whitest dudes that all they know how to do is fucking eat doors. Look at Denver's offensive line. There's, I think, one black guy.
Oh, yeah,
they're fucking white doors, bro, and their longevity. So me, yeah, I like the running quarterback. He's a bad motherfucker, but they're gonna kill him. They're gonna kill him eventually. And those pure guys, you know, how old is Brady?
He has to be 35.
Look at this
like
fucking dude up in Denver. How old is he?
Close to 40.
And we were writing him off 3 years ago with the back injury. So they knew. They said for him to throw, he needs 5 seconds. He needs 5 seconds, and he needs to know not even a fucking pebbles. He's not even gonna hit. He's not even gonna get hit with saliva. You understand me? Like he don't get hit with sweat. Nothing, George. That guy. And when he does get hit, you know, you can see that everybody on the offensive line, they take 100 from him. It's all over. You get induced 100 and no pork chop on fucking Friday night for dessert, because that's what they eat for desserts up there. Pork chops. Like after the steaks and the fucking bread. Well, what's for dessert? A fucking pork chop. So it's just, you know what? I don't watch that much football, but in my heart, you know, you got to like Tom Brady. That motherfucker dumped the chick when she was pregnant and started fucking the Brazilian chick. That Brazilian chick is one of the top 5 women God has ever put on this fucking planet. If you look at her legs, you could smell her pussy just by looking at her fucking knees. And it smells like fucking pure Brazilian ocean. You could see it. She's a fucking amazing, that bitch. He goes out there every week and throws. You know who controls Tom Brady? Pussy. Like, he's a pussy motherfucker. Like, she rubs that fucking monkey on his face before he goes out there. And she says, you don't win, you don't get this for a fucking month, cocksucker. And there's a point in the game where he just goes crazy. You ever see him? He just goes crazy. Yeah. Like, when I got off stage, it was 29-22. When I came back, it was 44-something. I knew they were going to score 2 more touchdowns. Because once they get that interception, Brady just thrives on that shit.
Yeah. No, it was crazy. And Jordan, not to bring it back to MMA, but I read an article before the show started and I wanted to get your opinion on it. The Khabib guy, who, and now Dana White saying that Nate Diaz turned the fight down, because Khabib fought like either, not, if not the last card, the card or two before it, and he killed him. So what are you hearing about that?
Yeah, he, you know, he's an awesome fighter, man. He's like 5-0 since he joined the UFC. He's like 21-0 overall, which is rare to go undefeated that long. Guy's a beast. What they wanted to do was they wanted to match him up at UFC 170 against Gilbert Melendez. But apparently, from what I'm hearing, it just, Gil, it wasn't going to be enough time to prepare, you know. And Melendez is a thorough professional. He's not the type of guy that really takes fights on, like, maybe 6 weeks' notice or 4 weeks' notice. And during the holidays, you never know, man. You never know what, if you're up an extra 5-10 pounds that you're not used to, it's hard to really do that thing, you know. And he wants a shot at the title. You know, Anthony Pettis holding that title, he'll be out for about another 6-7 months. But I think what he wants to do is get, and I'm talking about Gilbert here, is get a key win, and then he feels like the next shot is his. Because since he lost to Ben Henderson, he had that great fight against Diego Sanchez out in Houston, and then another win, I think, puts him in that spot. So he wants to be a little bit more calculated. His teammate, Nate Diaz, same thing. The Diaz boys, they don't fall too far out of contention because they're so popular. And, you know, he just came back and got that knockout win over Gray Maynard. So that kind of erases everything that happened in the Thompson fight. And, you know, I know making the weight is difficult for him, too. Now, a lot of times, Dana White will kind of put fighters on blast a little bit. Nate Diaz is saying BS, tweeted out BS to the UFC and to Dana White. That fight was never offered. So I don't know where the truth lies. You know, there's their version, his version, and the truth.
I don't really understand how that works. How, like, so they offer fights and you can turn them down. Like, how do, like, because that's different than, like, in major sports, they just give you your schedule and that's where you're going. So fighters can turn down fights. It's like, it's kind of a weird thing that's, like, not really talked about.
Yeah, some can't, some won't, some don't. But the bigger fights, the bigger names, I think they have a little bit more flexibility. And more than anything, I think a lot of it just had to do with the timing, because that UFC 170 is on, it's February 22nd, if I'm not mistaken, or 21st, in Las Vegas. And when all this talk was going down, it was already like late December, early January. So really 6 weeks away. I think the truth probably is Nate Diaz would fight him. He just wouldn't fight him in 6 weeks.
Well, if you're Mexican, December's a motherfucker. You know, December is a motherfucker for a Mexican. He ain't thinking about fighting. He's thinking about fucking eating. You know that. And Lee just experienced his first Mexican Christmas. He came back. His face was red. He was sweating. He couldn't believe it. You know, he's used to eating with Jews where they get a little piece of fish and everybody shakes hands and goes home. These fucking Mexicans don't want to come home. They keep you. They just keep bringing out fucking enchiladas and soups and goats and pigeons. So every Mexican gains 15 pounds over the fucking holidays. So that's probably another fucking reason that I love Gilbert, and I was surprised at that fight also. You have to turn down fights sometimes. First of all, sometimes you have to say no to get their attention, and sometimes you have to plan it out. What does this fight do for me? What's my next step? You know, we're all whores. I'm a fucking whore. I would do every movie and every weekend that's offered to me, but some of them just aren't feasible, and sometimes your management talks you out of it because we're savages. We're fucking savages. You know, if I usually take 8 weeks to prepare for a fight and you call me in 4 weeks, I might have more to lose than you do.
Okay.
Which was the case with John Jones and Chael Sonnen that time.
Okay.
Okay, it was the case. They were offering him, they knew what they were doing. They knew the scam way before. The guy had been hurt. They knew it. He was in camp. He started twitting out John Jones. One day he woke up and called out John Jones. And a week later, what's his name is hurting. John Jones is supposed to fight this fucking clown. And, you know, everybody was mad at John Jones. It's all forgotten now because he took him in there and he beat him up. But sometimes it's not feasible. You have more to lose than I do. You knock me out, you take what I got. I lose to you. No, let me go in there and let me be fucking prepared.
Okay.
You know, so sometimes it's better. You know, I used to say yes to everything and I had nothing. I stopped doing those $100 a day movies, and I got Grudge Match.
I watched it yesterday, Joey. I went yesterday to the movie. Sorry, I'm a few weeks late. But I caught it yesterday after the Niners win over Carolina. I hung out for a little bit, watched the second game, and then I went to the movies and checked out Grudge Match. It was a great movie.
It's hysterical. It wasn't a great movie, but it was entertaining, and you had a good time, and your Uncle Joey was in it, and Chael was in it, and everybody was in it. So you kind of related, and but the funny thing is, it's true. It's very true. You don't know. Right now I have a situation where somebody offered me and Lee work, and it's not great money, and it's a lot of work. So it's a job, but then again, what do we get out of it? What, that yeah. we got done and I got to work more? And no. So sometimes things are feasible, and sometimes they're not. 10 years ago, we would have been there, and then some. We would have booked the whole week in Texas. Or the whole week, but sometimes a job isn't just what it seems. To a fan or to somebody who doesn't know, you fuck you, man, you cancel Chicago. No, I got a movie which pays me this, and this is what I'm going to get from this movie. I can go to Chicago anytime. I can fight fucking Chuck Liddell anytime. You know what I'm saying? It's just this move doesn't work. So that's what the fans have to understand sometimes, you know?
Yeah. I think the matchup with Nurmagomedov, that's his last name, that's Khabib's last name, I think that one with Diaz or Melendez will happen. It just couldn't happen. It was too soon this time, and their camp, you know, they probably weren't as excited about it because that guy, although, like I said, he's got credentials, he just hasn't built up that name to that level of where those other two are at, and I think that's what they want.
What about Rory McDonald? Has he fought recently? I haven't seen his name on a fight card.
No, he lost recently, correct? His last fight he lost.
He lost to Robbie Lawler on the same card that GSP defeated Johnny Hendricks.
Okay, because so, he was like Jesus was a good for a
fight,
while.
Close fight, but yeah, he lost, and now his stock went down just a little bit. You know, he was probably in a position to maybe even challenge for the title, although things would have got sticky because GSP and Rory are teammates. They said they wouldn't fight each other. Dana says they would. Who knows? But he lost. GSP took the hiatus, so now we'll never know. And now he's got to take another fight, and I think he's fighting Damian Maia here in Las Vegas at UFC 170. So that's a great comeback fight for him and Maia. Maia lost to Shields recently. So both guys were prime candidates to be fighting for the world title. And now they're out of the picture for a bit.
Now, what's Conduit in all this? What's he waiting on? I mean, him and Matt Brown's Carlos Conduit. You know, I call him Conduit, whatever his fucking name is. What's that tiger doing down in New Mexico?
Yeah, he's going to be fighting at UFC 171 against Tyron Woodley.
Oh, shit.
That's in Dallas, Texas.
That's in Dallas. That's a great card. I know Joe's doing a comedy show down there. I'm booked that weekend, and I can't get
out. You're booked every weekend. I looked at your website, and I keep thinking maybe these other shows, you'll be coming down with Rogan, but I noticed that you're on the road all the time now.
You know, man, I like I was telling Lee, I only get one shot at this, and the road has become something different for me now, you know, so I try to go out there 2 times a month. I'm going to try to hit every place I can this year that I haven't been to just to say hello. And the rest is like, you know, if I could do something with Joe, I'll do it as long as we have great notice. I didn't know about Chicago. Or I would have been there with him. I didn't know about, there was another card I didn't know about that I would be there. The quickest card I'm going to be at is in Baltimore with Joe at UFC John Jones. And I'm going to find out about Orlando. I think they're thinking of doing a show in Orlando, so. Like
how can you two keep telling me, I didn't know about Chicago, I didn't know about that, has Rory McDonald fought? Do you realize there's a website called MMAJunkie.com, and then we can feed you all that information so you'll be up to date with what's happening? We have every fight card, we cover every organization, we talk to all the fighters, we have a daily podcast. There's no reason you two should be telling me this.
You know what, brother, you know in your heart I go to MMA Junkie as much as I can. I got so many fucking things on my plate now, George. And the family really added a lot to it, you know, and I work from my house. So every time I go home, I got to make contact with the baby, and that slows me down a little bit. I am keeping tabs, but I'm keeping tabs on a loose way. I'm like that ex-girlfriend that used to fucking break into your house and suck your dick. Now I'm just keeping you on. I know you're there, and I listen to you from time to time. I'm just not there with you all the time. I love you, George. Thank you very much for calling, and I think I'll see you in Vegas for the fight on the 22nd. I'll be there.
That's awesome, man. Hey, guys, thanks for the opportunity to be on your very popular podcast. I enjoyed it thoroughly, and anytime you guys need me, man, I'm here for you. I love you guys.
I love MMA Junkie, and give my best to the staff, and you know I love you guys. Thank you for calling in and dropping some knowledge on it.
All right, Joe, Lee, take it easy, will you?
Bye, Jordan. There you go. Let me tell you something else that's going on. Onnit is doing a sweepstakes, and the winner gets to go to Johnny Hendricks in Dallas. Oh, UFC shit. 171. Go to onnit.com, sweetstakes, and they tell you, oh, you should be on Onnit any fucking time. I just got my new shake this yesterday when I got back. I had a chocolate shake this morning. Best tasting fucking shake out there, the Hemp Force chocolate. They're not fucking around. They got the acai vanilla, which is also delicious. I'm a chocolate type of motherfucker. You know, I can't stress New Mood. I can't stress Alpha Brain to you. I'm back on the cycle for Alpha Brain, and I can feel my fucking cylinders ticking. Go to onnit.com, press in,
Church,
into the thing, get 20% off, sign up for the fucking monthly package, get 20 plus the 10. You know what? I went to, just one day, the other day I went to get these kettlebell things, my things, and I checked the prices of kettlebells at five-star sports over in Burbank over there. They're more expensive than the ones from Onnit, and Onnit ships it to you. I'm not talking about the kettlebells. If you're just looking for kettlebells, just regular kettlebells, they're cheaper on fucking Onnit, and they'll ship them to you for free or something. Go to Onnit. Check the fucking prices. And you know what? The rope is great. All that stuff is great. But it all starts with the Alpha Brain. It all starts with the Turnaround 160, the Hemp Force Protein Bars. Give it a fucking shot. Columbus did. Go to Onnit.com to the sweepstakes. Enter right now for fucking Johnny Hendricks against my fucking man at UFC 171. Also, as usual, Dollar Shave Club. What can I fucking say about you? Look at this. I took your fucking razors to Buffalo this weekend. Tremendous. The fucking little cord on there with the what's that thing? The strip with the fucking thing.
Oh, the aloe.
Keeps me fucking moisturized. I can't say enough of you. I only got you on Mondays. I can't stress this shit, guys. Dollar Shave Club is the only fucking way to go for $1, $6, or $9 a month. Go to joeydiaz.net. Go to the box in there. Dollar Shave Club. Preston what?
Church.
C-H-U-R-C-H. Shave your asshole. Shave your face. Shave everything. Go to the fucking Dollar Shave Club net page. Go to dollarshaveclub.com. Order the fucking wipes for your asshole. They smell like mint year-round. Why wait for Christmas? You know what I'm saying? Why wait for Christmas for your asshole to smell like fucking peppermint when your asshole could smell like mint fucking year-round, cocksuckers? Also, Hulu Plus. What the fuck? What the fuck? You're sitting there watching Golden Globes, paying $200 a month, whatever the fuck you're doing. That's not what you need to do. What you need to do is go to HuluPlus.com. Get 2 weeks for free. Not one, not three, two. And then after that, it's $7.99 a month. Who's going to give you that type of fucking action? Go to JoeyDiaz.net. Go to the Hulu Plus box and press.
Joey.
Bam! You get 2 weeks for free. You get the fucking shave. You get fucking pills. Who's better than you? You get battle ropes. You can hit people with kettlebells in the fucking head. Not to mention, this month only, we got Nature's Box. Tremendous. I just broke into the acai fucking oatmeal I had, the granola.
Yeah, it's
tremendous. It's a little fucking snack. They're healthy snacks, bro. You smoke dope. You get fucking hungry, correct? Yes or no? What are you going to do? You can't eat a banana every fucking day. You can't eat a fucking pizza from Little Caesars. So what do? You go on the thing. You open up a big fucking bag of cocoa almonds. Those almonds have antioxidants in it. These are all done by fucking nutritionists. Get your shit together, cocksucker. Go to Nature. Go to joeydiaz.net. Go to the Nature's Box. What do you press in?
Joey.
Boom! Joey. And you get 50% off. Now, it's a subscription service. So let them know. If you don't want to fucking get on there for more than 3 months, you just want to taste this shit 50% off, go. The chocolate almonds, the pumpkin fucking seeds, the sea salt. I mean, this shit tastes delicious. And you get a big bag with a seal. You put it right next to you in the chair. You put a joint in it. So you hit the joint, put it in that seal so the cat can't take it. Who's better than fucking you here? We're giving you this shit, people. 50% off. Go to joeydiaz.net. Go to the Nature's Box. What are you pressing the box?
Joey.
Are you fucking kidding me or what?
I'm never kidding you.
That's all I got for you motherfuckers. It was a great podcast today. I got to give some shout-outs to some people. Amanda Palmer, I love you. Thank you for the present for my daughter. She gave one of those fucking Team Umizoomi. Way to go. The doll, and when you press it, it says 2, 4, 6, say, you know, whatever. Let's do the crazy shake. Shake your hands high to the sky.
You're going to be so sad when she doesn't like Team Umizoomi anymore.
To the floor. Oh, I love all that shit. So thank you very much, Amanda Palmer, coming out in Buffalo and supporting Jason Welsh, Josh Rivera, you bad Puerto Rican. I want to give a shout out to Rosebud Wellness up there in Portland, Oregon, slinging the best reefer in the fucking state. If there's good reefer in Oregon, they got it. They got edibles. They got Anti-Dolores. Go up there and check them the fuck out. Mike Stanley, Brock Caro, Nicholas Galinda, congratulations. You know I love you. And Melanie Hicks putting together a fucking book. She's going to send me a fucking copy, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? What else is I going to talk about, Lee? I don't know if you people know it. Divine Wellness went out of business.
What?
Yeah, they had to move because they were 580 feet from a church. But another weed store moved in, and I haven't been able to go in there. But lately, I haven't been eating edibles, and I've been going back to NoHo Organic on Burbank Boulevard. And I got to tell you something. This ain't a fucking, they don't sponsor me. They don't do shit. I'm just telling you, motherfuckers. I like smoking heavy-duty dope. The satellite they got will fucking kill you. The fucking Girl Scout cookie they got right now will fucking kill you. I took an eighth to fucking Buffalo with that satellite. I was smoking it outside in the wintertime. Even the shingles were fucking melting around me. That weed is so fucking strong. If you're in the area, stop by fucking, if you like weed, bro, if you want to see the devil, and you're sick of seeing Jesus with a big dick and a cape on, go to fucking Divine Wellness. Go to NoHo Organic. Ask for the satellite. You ain't going to be sorry. That dry shit, bring it home, dry it, and fucking smoke it in the fucking pipe, and get back to me, motherfucker. You will see the fucking devil. You understand me?
I love it.
What's going on with you, Lee? What's on tap for the weekend?
Flying G Radio today at 12:30 for those of you watching right now on Ustream. We have a cool guest coming in. We have some calls. And then just tomorrow, I'm going to be calling in and auctioning some stuff off on the Yuck Nasty podcast.
What time are you calling in?
I'm not sure yet. So I'm going to call in.
And find out what time I'm calling in.
Oh, you're going to call in too? Okay.
Absolutely. I think Mike Maxwell is going to hook me up.
Okay. Shoot, so well, Maxwell is on Wednesday morning from 10 to 1.
Okay.
But I'm going to call in, I think, at the beginning and start the auction. I'm auctioning off either a call in to Flying G Radio, or I'll help you start your own podcast over the phone. I'll give you like an hour. We'll auction that off, and it's all going to Yuck Nasty.
What about your underwear?
If someone wants my underwear,
I think they're gonna offer your underwear after you've been in them all fucking day. A nice little seal with a picture of you whacking off and anything, up your ass.
Anything to get the Yuck Nasty in the house. If you That's want all. My underwear, I'll give it.
What's
to you.
What's Yuck Nasty up to?
Over 5,000, I think.
Really? Okay. Yeah. We gave from the church, so we're gonna give again before the week's over. I was gonna give a little portion from the CDs. We're number 9 with the CD. We're still alive.
Yep.
I don't want you to think. You know, the reviews are horrible. Like I'm getting reviews, and he called me and said that it's. People that just reviewed it didn't even listen to it.
Oh, yeah, no. Did you see that part on Twitter?
Yeah, there's the one
two
you put
right
on
next to him.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy needs to get his mouth washed out with soap. Oh, the people. Like, this is what's wrong with our country.
But the CD is fucking good because I listened to it the other day and I was laughing. I forgot I had said those things. So we get the fucking CD.
I love bad. It.
This weekend, I'm at the Melrose Improv Friday and Saturday, 8 o'clock show. D'Agostino, Ari Shaffir.
Oh,
Steve
shit.
Simone and George Perez.
Really?
I think, yeah, I'm going to have a hitters lineup.
Oh, shit.
The following week, I'm at the House of Comedy at fucking Minneapolis. I think it's the 24th through the 26th. Check their page out. And also, I want to make a special announcement. 10th Planet. You ready for this one? 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu. If you're a Death Squad member, certified Death Squad member with verifiable references, they'll give you a month of Jiu-Jitsu for free.
Really?
First month is for free.
Wow.
First month is for free. Eddie, get your name down there. Tell them you're part of Death Squad. First month is free. They're going to announce it. You're hearing it here first because Eddie wants you people to get involved. That's it. The fucking party's over for a while. And you, cocksucker, you're coming to Jiu-Jitsu this week.
Okay.
Because we might sponsor Kyle.
Okay.
Kyle's going to the Gracie Nationals. So he only paid for the gi part. I think for another $90 we'll give him. He'll do the no gi. But I want you to give it to him, so I don't want you to think it's from me. Just go, you know what, Joey told me about you. I think he'd get a big, because he always asks me about it. He's 23, just like you, bigger than a fucking house. Zach. Kyle is the other purple belt, but Zach is doing the Gracie Nationals. It's the week
cool.
I'm in Minneapolis. I'm going to try to come back Sunday and shoot down there. It's doubtful, though, because it's in Long Beach by the time I get in from Minneapolis. But I think we're going to sponsor him in the Gracie Nationals.
Great.
We had enough money for one of the things. I got some Onnit products for him, and that's it, people. You know, it's going to be a great fucking week. This is the first official week without the fucking holidays. So if you still got lights up and you still listen to jingle carols, get your fucking shit together, cocksucker. It's over. It's time to go to fucking work and make money so next year you can jump up and down and eat chocolate cookies and support the fucking Girl Scouts of America, whatever the fuck you want to do. And beside that, you know, we love you. Go to fucking iTunes, download the fucking podcast. Maybe you've been away. Nobody went up there and told you. Download. You Can't Eat Pussy with Fucking Asthma. We're also on payload loads. The documentary's on payloads. We got a ton of shit for you. The shirts are coming. Maxwell designed some great shirts. We were going to have the Jesus walking away from the church.
Yeah.
And it was on fire. And he's walking away with a machine gun with new chucks around his neck. But he made another design that's in white and blue. I'm going to do it short sleeve white and blue and long sleeve white and blue. So those shirts are coming. We got the hoodies coming. please, just bear with me. We're getting our shit together. Lee's putting together a podcast network. We're talking to Josh Wolf. We're talking to Rick Ramos about a movie podcast. So we're going to have it all for you. It's going to be one-stop shopping. We're going to be slinging dick. The church of what's happening now. We love you, cocksuckers. What do you got for music, though?
I got some great music. I don't. You didn't tell me.
How about a little Hypnotize from Biggie just to get the party started? All right. Today I didn't even play music because the computer fucking, I couldn't get reception. Waterbox, I see you. Cleo, I see you. First month, the 10th plan is free. Tell them, Waterbox. We got to get Waterbox to call into the podcast. That's a bad motherfucker. The more I get to talk to Waterbox, the more I love that motherfucker. And this is why I love going on the road, because I get to meet you people. Daymar, get it together, you rabid cocksuckers. Up there in fucking Buffy. I love you, cocksuckers. I love all of you. What do you got, Lee? Drop it on them. All
right, now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus.
Free!
Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey or go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Hulu Plus banner. And don't forget to sign up for DollarShaveClub.com. You get high-quality razors sent to your door every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. That's DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. And now that the show is over, remember to go to NatureBox.com and order great-tasting, healthy snacks at 50% off.
50!
Snack smarter in the new year with healthy and delicious treats like French toast granola. Support this podcast and get 50% off of your first order when you go to JoeyDiaz.net or go to NatureBox.com and use promo code Joey. That's promo code Joey.
There you go. Have a great day. Oh, oh, what, Lee? What, come what?
Sicker than your average. Pop a twist, cabbage on instinct. Niggas don't think shit. Stink pink gators. My Detroit players. Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. That's dead right. If the head right, Biggie there. And I. Papa been smooth since days of under rules. Never lose. Never choose to. Bruise, cruise, who? Do something to us. Talk, go through us. Girls want to us. Wanna do us. Screw us. Who us? Yeah, Papa and Pump. Close like Starsky and Hutch. Stick to clutch. Yeah, I squeeze three at your cherry M3. Bang every MC easily.
Take that.
Recently, niggas frontin' ain't saying nothing, so I just speak my peace. Keep my peace. Cubans with the Jesus peace. With my peace. Packing, asking who want it. They got it, nigga flaunt it. That Brooklyn bullshit, we on it.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain.
I put O's in NY onto DKNY. Miami, D.C., prefer Versace.
That's right.
All Philly hoes know it's Moschino. Every cutie with the booty boy the coochie. Now who's the real dookie? Meaning who's really the shit? Them niggas ride dicks. Frank White push the six on the Lexus LX 4.5. Bulletproof glass tints if I want some ass. Gon' blast squeeze first. Ask questions last. That's how most of these so-called gangsters pass. At last, a nigga rapping about blunts and broads, tits and bras, menage a trois, sex and expensive cars. I still leave you on the pavement. Condo paid for, no car payment. At my arraignment, no for the cleaning. Your daughter's tied up in the Brooklyn basement. Face it, not guilty. That's how I stay still. Richer than rich, so you niggas come and get me.
Come on.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain.
I can fill you with real millionaire shit. That's cargo, my cargo. 160, swiftly. Wreck it by a new one. The crew run, run, run. The crew run, run. I know you sick of this name brand. Nigga with flows, girl, say he sweet like licorice. So get with this, nigga, it's easy. Girlfriend, here's a bitch. Call me round 10, come through, have sex on rugs, that's Persian.
That's right.
Come up to your job, hit you while you're working, for certain. Papa freaking, not speaking, leave the ass leaking like rapper Demo. Tell them who, take their clothes off slowly. Kill them with the force like Kobe, dick black like Kobe. Watch me roam like
roaming. Lucky they don't own me. Where to say, show me,
say
homie.
Homie.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your...